Well, hello and welcome to the Two Kinky Women podcast, where we dish about everything kink. I am your co-host, Midnight Lady, and my partner is Mistress Gabrielle. Say
Hi,
hello.
everybody. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Two Kinky Women podcast. We've got a real treat for you guys today. No question about it. If you're new here, welcome. We hope you enjoy, and we're very glad to have you. And as I was saying, this is a wonderful, wonderful topic. As you probably know, if you've listened to us before, and I hope you have, we're doing a special dive into a lot of subjects having to do with our scene. We're doing specialty subjects, let's say. We did male chastity. We did a talk with Leather Gamer, which was wonderful. And today we have another treat for you today. A dive into a particular subject. And that particular subject is animal play. Yes, animal play. There's so many popular forms of animal play, and so many people are involved in it. There's puppies, there's kittens, there's ponies, there's rabbits, there's goats, there's all different kinds of stuff. And essentially, this is just one other aspect of the great variety that you find within the BDSM scene. Pet play, pet can be a submissive, the pet can even be a dominant. I've seen it happen. It's essentially role play, and people who are involved in it do perform behaviors that the particular animal exhibits. It seems to be a safe escape for a lot of people, and a lot of different kinds of things are involved in it. I know you've seen a lot of it too, ML, haven't you? Within events and stuff.
Yes, it's very prevalent and becoming more so, even like local parties in my local kink scene, play parties that I've been to. There's always mostly men doing the dog play, puppy play, wearing leather beak masks. Or beak, leather mouth mask, and ears, and they've got the chest pipe harness that's prevalent in that type of kink. So yes, it's a big thing now. It's really branched out. Yeah, branched out
Now,
from just pony play.
I think it can be absolutely fascinating to me, particularly if you've never seen it before. It's absolutely endearing as well, because the connection between the animal and the trainer or handler or owner, whichever phrase you want to use, is remarkable. And to tell you all about that particular aspect, we're really lucky today to have a good friend of mine join us on the podcast today. And this is a person who is very well known in terms of the scene and animal play. She's presented along with her pet at many, many events I've been to, and has spoken very artfully on the topic. And as I said, really good friend of mine, known her for years, and I'm so pleased that she's going to be able to join us today. And I'd like to welcome my dear friend, Sophie Minkman, who is going to talk to us today about animal play. Hey, Sophie, thanks for coming.
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be here with all of you. I'm
Oh,
here
good.
together with my husband and human dog, Shadik Minkman. Say hi.
Hi. Hello. Good
How
to see
wonderful.
you.
Great,
So we've
great
got
to
it.
see you too. Wonderful, wonderful. What a treat to have the both of you. Wow, I'm really whoa, I'm speechless. Well, maybe not really speechless, but yeah, I'm impressed. This is wonderful. I'm so glad. I really, really am. Welcome the both of you. You know, this is a really big topic. And as ML said, she's seeing a lot of it even more than ages ago. Now, I first was introduced to it quite a few years ago at TESS, and I know our regular listeners certainly know what Tess is. Tess is the Eulenspiegel Society, based out of New York City. And I was first introduced to it at Tess. Somebody came in and did a little demo. And then I went to a big event. And wow, that was really something. So, Sophie Minkman and your pet, tell us, what is animal play all about?
Sure. Well, I think we're going to discuss it from both sides. And since I usually give a more intellectual answer, I'd actually like to have Shadik respond first, because
terrific.
He's the one who has the passion of being the person that plays the animal. And I'm on the other side of that. So I'll explain the joys that I get out of it after him.
Terrific. Go right ahead.
Well, I would say it's definitely really freeing to be a pet. You get to ignore all the human parts and all the human worries and concerns and everything, and be taken care of and just live in the moment. And it's freeing. It's relaxing. Feels really good, and that's really what I get out of it.
Yeah, so I'm going to woman-splain you right now.
Okay.
And I'd like to say, in the role of the animal, an individual can give pleasure without much complex thought. They can act in strictly defined parameters that make them feel more successful in their role. In addition, they get to enjoy the dehumanization and the degradation. And by degradation, I don't mean that it's degrading in the way that we use that word. I mean that they get to be at a level below other people. So what does that do for everybody involved is that it lets people experience clear hierarchies without having to put too much emphasis on the planning and the controlling of everything. And you get
sounds like there's a lot of escapism involved in this particular activity too.
So let's talk a little bit about how people play. Yeah. And then I think I want to go back to this response. So basically, there are two types of players in any kind of animal play. There are the role space play players, where they say, oh, I'm taking on this role. I'm going to act like a blank, and my parameters will be acting like said animal. Or I'm going to take the role of the handler, the trainer, the owner, and I will function in those parameters. Then there are the headspace players. And that's where it's, I think, less thoughtful and more just a free-flowing experience.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the mindset, because I think that this is a really important, like, Sharni just said about the fact that he doesn't have to worry about anything. He's in this space. The everyday issues are gone. It's in a mindset. Talk to us a little bit about what that mindset is all about, because that's what I find absolutely fascinating. When I've had the experience of dealing with people who play as animals, they really get into it. I mean, they're really there.
Well, sure, because like he said, there are clear rules, right? No one has to analyze too much. No one has to anticipate too much. You can let go of your inhibitions. The desires and motivators of animals, they're simplistic.
Yeah.
You don't need to qualify your emotions. People can be relaxed and focus on the moment.
Right.
It can be more instinctual. You could be more in touch with your feral self. And if you're a little anxious as the animal, you can get away with behaviors that you wouldn't try to get away with if you're always trying to be a good submissive slave, etc., like licking or jumping or headbutting or neighing or anything that you want, right? So it really allows a certain type of freedom. With the escape comes that sense of freedom. And I'd like to turn it back over to Shadik.
Yeah, it to get into there's a big part of just being in the role, just to you get to be a different, get to just be different and not be yourself, in or you be your full self. It depend, I guess, depending on what you and how you start, but and I can run around naked and jump up on people and be petted and not care about anything. I've met people and I don't know they met them because I was a dog, and it's just it just feels, it's just like, so it's really freeing to get in the headspace of being the animal. And the more you're in the headspace, the more you get treated like an animal. And then the more you get treated like an animal, the more you can get into headspace. And then it just sort of adds on like that. And
That's
it
very
can
interesting.
really become a great experience.
Yeah, that's very interesting because what you just said about the more you get into it, the more you can really be yourself. And it's not really escapism, or it's escapism of the greatest kind, because you're totally it's interesting. It's like it's really two different things. You are totally yourself, but you're totally not yourself. So there's this space where, you are living your fantasy by taking on the attributes of a domesticated animal, but of course you are guiding your own behavior, but you can get lost in it too. That's what I'm getting from you, that you can really transform while you're in this place. It's almost as if, you were an actor or an actress taking on a role on the stage. You are lost in this particular persona that you're taking on. It's absolutely fascinating. It really is.
I find this fascinating, the concept of the mindset. And before this conversation, I really didn't see the appeal in it. But now that you just talked about it, and I was like, wow, I can definitely see this now, because who doesn't want an escape from reality and from the world at large, and to be able to not have so many societal rules, placed upon us when we're social human beings. Always let the lady go first. Open the door for a lady. Say please and thank you. There's all these rules that you have to do just to get along with everybody. And the concept of not having to do any of that is very interesting. It really has opened my eyes to why people love it and why people do it. And I think I think that's great to be able to have that release. We're not bound by so many societal, graceful things. I find that very interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to say that that's absolutely true. And the other thing that's wonderful often about this is that it could be a very affectionate, funny, fun type of play. It is indeed very in the moment because you don't know what to expect from an animal, right? And you react, and you don't have to be that 5'11" Mistress Pandora, with an intense persona, or take any of that on. You can really just be yourself as the top of that. So as the top for this type of playing.
Right.
So for the person that, let's say we'll just call them the handler, right? Because they could have multiple roles. They could be a veterinarian, they could be an owner, they could be a groomer, they could be so many different things, right? They could be a scientist performing a lab experiment, but we can
Oh,
get
I
to
love
that.
these scenarios. Veterinarian, scientist performing a lab test. Wow.
Yeah, we can get into that. We do a lot
Wow.
of really interesting play that I call strange animal. So this is a more relaxed form of psychological play in essence. And you get to experiment with expressions of the power exchange, where you can do the caretaking and be silly and be tough. And let's say if you have the sweetest, most adoring, and slightly nervous person in your life whom you love, right? When you're gentle with them because maybe they need someone who's gentle to them in day-to-day life, it's a little bit more fun to think of, let's say, training them as an animal rather than pushing a hierarchical, no, not hierarchical, but like a stringent dynamic
Right.
on them day to
Right.
day. So
Right.
there's a great way to do that. And then getting back to, you know, the dogs and or the horses, or, you know, in the case if they're a wolf, they could be more in touch with their feral self. So I think that a lot of that is really, really interesting.
Tell me about negotiation. You know, one of the things that ML and I talk about pretty much in every single podcast that we do is that there is always about consent, and consent is preceded by negotiation. So this is not something that you just jump into without talking about it first. And there have to be agreements. There has to be consent. What kind of negotiation do you get involved with before you actually do a scene or live this way? What kind of things do you have to work out beforehand?
Well, you haven't had experience with this.
All right, so I think first of all, most play is negotiated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You ask about health and safety. You ask about someone's deep desires, likes and dislikes. You ask them what they hope to experience and what makes an experience unpleasant for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once you have that information, you have to look inside yourself and be able to explain very clearly what you're hoping to get as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to answer those questions no matter what side of the play that they're on. For me personally, when I did this, I would often get asked by aspiring puppies, right, or human dogs, and as well as ponies and other animals. But when it came to the puppies, they would ask me, well, what kind of puppy do you want me to be? And I told them, well, it's your job to be the puppy. And as the handler, it's my job to train you into and out of behaviors that I like. I'm sorry. Yeah, that I like and don't like.
Right. That's a very interesting point, Sophie, that it's your job to be the puppy. So you have a potential puppy says to you, what kind of puppy do you want me to be? And your response is, well, you're the puppy. You be the puppy, and then I'll take it from there. And would that be, yeah, I think that that's really very interesting. So I'm thinking about this in from my own experience. I did train a puppy for a very short period of time when I was involved in tests years ago. And I told my puppy to be that I wanted the puppy to learn how to speak. And of course, what I meant was, when I said to the puppy, speak, I wanted the puppy to bark, needless to say. And of course, needless to say, it didn't go exactly the right way. We were performing, we did our little 10-second or 15-second routine in front of the judges. And I thought I had done a good job in training this puppy. And I said to the puppy, speak, puppy, speak. And the puppy looked at the judges and said, welcome to Tess. And that wasn't what I wanted the puppy to do. I wanted the puppy
Wonderful.
to bark on command. So I guess I hadn't done a good job training.
So, I could tell you how I preempt this problem.
Yes.
I'm lucky in that I'm multilingual.
Oh,
So,
okay.
I often speak a language that somebody else doesn't.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, what I've done is I'll train the animal in a language that they don't speak. And that's another reason. Wait, I'm sorry. So, I train a language I train an animal in a language that the person does not speak. And I do that because I really want to encourage playing in headspace. That's what I like. I am not a role play player, like completely.
I get you.
And it's not the only thing. With me, at least, I had to be loosened up to be like the full puppy. I had the so she had the she so Miss Sophie, she trained me to be more dog, be more just do things like dogs want to do, like lick faces and stuff, because that was something I had to be trained into, or like openly allowed to get past my human issues with that sort of thing. And then after she trained me to want to be the do these things while I'm in dog space, is then she started training me, no, you can't just lick me whenever you want, sort of thing. And so yeah, so there was so that was a big that was a great way to sort of, so first train me to be like a non-trained dog, and then train me, and then get me into, and then actually start training me the other ways to be well behaved. And that was a great way to do the whole roles, to do the whole experience too.
So training you to be a well-behaved dog.
Yes,
Got
after
it.
training me to be just a dog, and
Gotcha.
then and then doing that in another language allows me to just learn, instead of, since I don't know what she's saying, I can't just it, I know my human brain won't interrupt, because it's really hard to like say, oh, I can't understand English anymore, but you can just do it. You can sort of zone out and just hear the sounds you're familiar with that you're trained with.
It would seem to me also that that kind of thing might work with if you were clicker trained as well.
Right. So we have these clickers, and in fact, we know other people who use clickers in puppy play as well. And it's a whole lot of fun to keep a clicker in your pocket and play around with it. Every time they do something good, click. So we have done that, and of course the treats and all of those wonderful things. So that it's been a whole lot of fun. Also, we are not just puppy players, just to make that very, very clear.
You mean you do other
So
animals?
Shadik, in fact, is the animal. And he's actually a multi award winning dog and pony.
See, you
Wow.
have competed and you have the blue ribbons to show for it.
Exactly.
Wow.
But my headspace lonely. I my like I try to get really into headspace for puppy play. That's where I go. For pony play, it's I don't I'm not that I don't get much headspace there. I can't like it's hard for me to imagine what a horse like. I don't haven't had experiences with horses, so a lot of that's role playing, being like a really good looking, like dress up or not dress up, or and just be a well trained horse there. And then other animals too, it's either about appearance or role playing, because for me the headspace is with the puppy. But I try to be a menagerie of animals for whenever Miss Sophie wants me to be.
Ah,
Yeah, he's
okay.
been a monkey too, and that was a fun class. So we were
A
teaching the strange
monkey.
animal class. That's
Okay.
right, at Tess 1 year, and Mistress Nona talked about how in the 50s, when she was a child, there was a monkey in a pet store in Long Island that used to like to touch her hair, and whenever it touched her hair, it got an erection and masturbated, and she thought it was hilarious. So she wanted our monkey to touch her hair, masturbate, and well, our monkey wasn't very good at that. So we decided that maybe we need to sell that monkey to an organ grinder or something that might have turn it into a performance monkey. Well, monkey, monkey, dance, dance, and you throw peanuts at the monkey, and he's not a very good dancer, and he gets too stressed out. So we sold the monkey to a lab.
Oh my goodness. Oh
And we
my.
did cosmetic testing on this human monkey.
Yeah.
People just pulled out whatever was in their pocketbook, and we tested what would happen if. And it was hilarious. And it was very in the moment. And there was this.
It wasn't headspace for me. It was sort of, that was more the human humiliation, dehumanization. It was more of a role playing,
Right.
but it allowed, but it let, but the extra element of me being an animal versus a person just sort of made it more, I don't know, fun. It made it more exciting. It made me feel less like like a. It made me feel like less that I had to like. Fight, like made me feel less that I had to be something other than just the animal I'm being sort of mistreated as.
Right.
Yeah.
I
But there
love
does,
mistreating human animals, but not real animals, of course.
the connection that you two have is absolutely fascinating. Now, insofar as our audience is concerned, this is an audio podcast, and they can't see you folks communicating and operating like ML and I can see, but the connection between you two is very, very intense, no question about it. And it also is the smiles on your faces. I could see that you folks really, really enjoy this. And I think you also, yeah, and you also are bringing something else into this, which I think is very important in the scene, which is accommodation, accommodating your partner's needs. And that goes both ways, needless to say. You're accommodating the top's needs, the top is accommodating the bottom's needs. But I also wanted to mention something else here. I did say it briefly in the introduction, which is I've known tops who are ponies as well. And I remember years ago having a tremendous crush on a pony who was a top. Oh my goodness. And he was a top. Who was intense as a top, but he was definitely a horse. There was no question about it. He was a pony. It was fascinating to me that the role play or the depersonalization and the exhibitionism which is another aspect of this, was so intense because his acting as a top pony, and he was a shoulder pony, by the way. Okay, he took riders on his shoulders, right? And his strength was just, it was just absolutely remarkable. And there was no question for anybody who saw him, even for 2 seconds, that this guy was a top. Absolutely. This was a pony who was a top. Yeah, Tess, yes. It was remarkable. It really was remarkable.
I wonder if it's the legend who's a war horse. Is it that one?
It's one of the many that it's not this particular one, but that's one of the many. And yes, he was definitely a top as well. It's absolutely fascinating, I think.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about the exhibitionism point of this, because there's got to be a good deal of it, particularly when we're talking about all the accoutrements that you can get into. ML and I were talking about this other day, and she was saying, you can get the all of the stuff that horses get into, the blinders, the mouthpieces, the reins, hooves. I mean, it is just amazing the what you can do. Yeah.
Don't forget my favorite, the
There you go.
ponytail
Exactly.
butt plug. Not that
Exactly.
I have, not that I have two of them, one in pink and one in blue.
Oh. Right? Right?
Have you ever thought of getting a unicorn horn to go with those?
Oh, what a
Oh.
great idea. What a great idea. Yeah,
But
so there's a lot of
yeah.
different kinds of things that you can do. I mean, there's a lot of variations. How do you come up with inspiration for creative play, Sophie?
Oh,
How
well,
do you do that?
let me
No,
answer
go
the
back
two
to what we were
different
saying.
things.
Go right ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, let me answer the two different things because at first we were talking about not the accoutrement, but
Exhibitions.
the exhibitionism, yeah. And then let's go into the creative ideas. So regarding the exhibitionism, it is a whole lot of fun for me to show people off, to mold them into something. I
Yes.
have Pygmalion fantasies, right? I want to create my own monster and fall in love with it. I want to train my own minotaur. And so, one of the things that I love, and you know this about me, Gabby, is I love elegance. I also love to turn people into sloppy messes. Animal play lets me do both. When I do pony play, we use classical music when we compete. Beautiful Russian pieces. I take out furs. We have a cart, and it might be summer, but everybody feels like it's winter, and they're watching a horse-drawn sleigh. It's beautiful. It's smooth. It's elegant.
Ideally, at least, if I'm driving right.
I don't know who he's trying to kid. If you've seen him, you know he's excellent,
Yes,
right?
he is. Yes,
Now,
he
but
is.
when people are other animals, right? I might love the whole sloppy mess of it. So with puppies, they get to be goofy. And I really love watching somebody who might by nature be a more anxious person, who might overthink things, get in the way of their own joy, and help them strip away all of that and experience the way that they want to. Another thing that's fun is I've had a wonderful experience turning people, specifically, you know what? More than one of them have been an attorney, funnily enough,
Isn't that interesting?
into piggies.
I love it. I love it.
Sloppy, dirty, filthy pigs.
Right.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So now, That'll easily transition into answering how do I come up with some of the ideas? So you know what? I'm going to mention two of the piggies and then go into how I do the brainstorm. So I was at a party years ago, and there was this beautiful young woman. And we were sitting with a bunch of women, most of us dominants, and she was not. She enjoyed switching. She was just a fun-loving person. And we were eating chocolate truffles together, the melty kind. Well, she got some on her face, and then some fell into her ample cleavage. And I told her that she's a filthy, filthy piggy. She just looks so filthy. Her eyes immediately glazed over, her cheeks flushed, and I handed somebody this squeeze toy pig that I have that makes pig noises.
Dog toy.
Yes, it is. It is a dog toy. You can buy it in some at some retailers, and it makes these wonderful squealing and grunting noises. And I had somebody squeeze it. I whispered to them, and so while I don't usually mix animal play with impact play, in this case we did, right? It was just organic, and that's the fun of the free flow of this. And I said that she needed to be punished for being such a filthy piggy. So I gave her, she bent over the table. I pulled up her skirt. I warmed her up and gave her a spanking. And as I'm spanking her, my friend behind me is squeezing the pig toy
Oh, I
to be
love it.
grunts and oinks, etc. And this is a woman who is sexy and gorgeous and dresses up for everything with her makeup that's impeccable and her hair blown out. And she told me for years after that it was one of her most fun experiences because she got to let go. She got to not be that person, that she had to be. Not only for others, but for herself, image-wise. So that was the way one of it happened. Another pig thing is the human pig roast, which I've done more than
Oh
once.
my goodness. ML's face when you said that. She's like, okay. Alrighty
The image that just came to my mind is just this person like on a spit,
Yes,
like tied to a spit that you just keep spinning.
Yeah, we'd love to have done that, but he's too heavy and we're too weak.
Oh.
But that was the
Well, you
goal.
know,
So that
those
was the
first
goal.
images.
So there's this one person I played with twice that I think I want to tell this as if both the two times are woven together as one. And it's a great friend of mine for whom I have a lot of respect. But I don't always want to treat this friend of mine with that great amount of respect. And we decided one day that there were a lot of people that wanted to play together. So I got to know about what people like, both as far as how they like to top and what they like to do, as well as what they like to get out of the game. And then I also divided folks up in certain ways. So, for example, I really like to be the dominant. And by that, I mean to set a mood, create a flow, and bring people towards a destination, right?
So that's exciting for you.
That's exciting for me. I
Okay.
really like giving them that headspace. And if I pair up with others who may enjoy rope play, fire play, or violet wand play, well, I enjoy fire, but violet wands, et cetera, there is so much that could happen. And can you imagine the bottom who gets the attention of multiple people doing different things to them. It's
Oh,
amazing,
absolutely.
right?
Sure,
So
sure.
what we did was we decided we were going to lure this piggy. We got some apple slices, and we had a friend of mine who really just loved the humiliation part, and she wanted to help me with a takedown. So we lure the piggy here, piggy, 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 with apple slices. Here, piggy, 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 right? Piggy comes out, and we said, chase the piggy down. We do a takedown of the piggy. And unfortunately, this piggy, again, we could not tie him to a spit. So we marched him into the dungeon with, and to get a little bit of fun and energy going, I started chanting, kill the pig, kill the pig.
Goodness. Oh,
Straight out of Lord of the Flies. And so now here are a bunch of women in this case, right? Marching a male pig into the dungeon with a pig nose on, right? Kill the
face.
pig, kill the pig. So we bring the pig in, and then I like knife play. So I flayed the pig.
Did you then, huh?
I did. And then
Oh my goodness.
my friends who really liked impact play, they had to tenderize the meat.
Got it.
Now, in the another scenario, we also had a butcher carve the meat, but they did it Food Style Network show.
Gotcha.
It was fantastic, making a huge, huge production and exhibit out of this. So after the tenderizing, maybe you want to marinate or rub salt in their wounds, which we did. We had to brine the meat. I don't know anything about cooking pork, of course, coming from a kosher family, but we decided that pork had to be brined. I stuck an apple in the pork's mouth, and my friend who likes violet wands, I'm terrified of electricity, by the way, and electrical play, decided to cook the pig that way. And then, just for extra fun, we decided to eat the pig.
I had a feeling
So,
you were going to say
yeah, so
that.
I was eating the apple out of the pig's mouth. And one time we even poured applesauce all over the pig.
Right.
And we bit into him. We didn't break
Who doesn't
skin.
like applesauce with their pork chops? I mean, really, absolutely. No question about
I
it. Take it from
I
me.
I okay, I'll take it from you. I hear it's good. I've never had it. But I really enjoyed it, as did everybody else, and it was a lot of fun.
This is your imagination. This is the extent to which you use your imagination. I mean, it's almost as if all bets are off. There's so many different kinds of things that you can do to have a good time. And one of the things that I'm liking about the stuff that you're saying, and I think ML would agree with me because the both of us are having a good time laughing over here, is that you can really have a sense of humor and not take
Absolutely. Yeah.
yourself so darn seriously. In a scene, you can really have a sense of humor and enjoy the absurdity of it all, frankly,
Oh, yeah.
and add a lot of other people to it or not, but really enjoy the depths to which your imagination can take you.
Oh,
As long,
sure.
of course, it's safe, sane, and consensual. So, of course, we can eat the pig, but not really. But in any event, it just sounds like, if you just let your imagination go, there's so many different types of variations in the type of play
Oh,
that
yeah.
you can do. Yeah, it just it
All
sounds like so much fun.
I could think about when you were
But
saying about
yeah.
flaying the pig, I'm thinking bacon. I'm like,
Bacon.
oh, get myself some bacon.
Exactly. And that's the attitude that it would be really fun to bring to it,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I'm like, there's
And
only
it
bacon.
exactly. So, but look at how free you are when you don't have to think about it too hard and you can just laugh.
Yeah.
So it's freeing for the animal and, of course, freeing for the tops. And you can incorporate. So the animal is some sort of animal that's pre-negotiated with them, right?
Right.
And then everybody talks about, well, what do they like as far as types of play? Do they like fear play? Do they like medical play? Do they like rough play? Do they like some kind of psychodrama? Do they have a recurring fantasy or a fetish, such as some sort of transformation into something? Because you can take this towards some of the more modern transformation fetish werewolf fantasies. One of the ones I have is being a school teacher who has a teenage werewolf for a student.
Just being any animal is like engages this idea of transformation,
Right.
especially, yeah, even if you don't, even if there's no one that says, oh, you used to be a human, you have the sort of, you have the feeling that you used to be sort of thing.
Right.
But I do want to bring up that you should be careful when doing the sort of this, the mixing pet play with some of the other plays. Because if you have like a if I if like a, you can't like you can't if I'm a am I if I'm like a puppy and trying to be like a puppy, you can't start beating me. That's really terrible for a puppy.
That's right. And it would be
And
terrible for a horse too.
yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, Miss Sophie had like a horse whip or something, I can't remember. Like an actual horse whip that she was hitting me with on a regular occasion, you know, as pun just hit as when I was a person. But then as soon as the horse whip, she brought it with her the pony play, and was using it to for training that way, but it wasn't going to work because I was associating it with the being hit,
Right.
not with the pony. So
Right.
it sort of messed up the pony play that way by using the whip
Right.
both ways. So you have to be cautious. You can't
Yes.
just you just can't you can't just start a, it's part of the negotiation ahead of time. You can't just start mistreating a puppy in puppy headspace
Right.
because the puppies don't aren't supposed to get mistreated.
That's right.
Right. But junkyard dogs are. And the
Junkyard
reason
dogs, right?
that's right. So the reason I bring that up is not because it's not an argument to mistreat human dogs. It is that different dog expect dogs to be different. So if you know that somebody wants this to be this type of animal for because this is the way that it makes them feel and this is what they want to experience, you honor that.
Right.
So if we're going to mistreat this animal, he'll be a donkey instead, or he'll be a monkey, or he'll be some nondescript filthy beast that's drooly
Gotcha.
and disgusting.
Right.
And then to that drooly beast, you know, you can take them for a vet check, have the
Ah.
vet inspect and help you decide what type of animal they are. Do they need a rabies shot? Do we need to check
Yes.
for worms? Do we need
Yes.
to neuter this animal?
I was just going to say, you could take your prize pony who needs to become a gelding to the vet and do
Exactly.
what has to be done. That's right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Or maybe they're a stallion and you need
Yeah,
to breed them.
that's
You know,
right.
either or. And then there
Right.
are things you could do with them that you don't do with animals, like interesting things with peanut butter. You know, so human animals do have just certain benefits, right? But you can put
I just love the fun aspect of this as well, because I do
yeah.
find, and you and I have spoken about this before, that so many people take everything that they do when it's seen involved so damn seriously. And having fun with this, such a great opportunity. Not that you can't be very serious with it, of course you can, but you can also have so much fun. You know, it reminds me, this kind of role play reminds me so much of just having a very, very good time with your partner. And the exhibitionist part, and what you were saying before about, you know, the Pygalian thing about transferring or this just ordinary submissive into a show animal. is absolutely remarkable to me. I've seen that kind of a thing. I can remember a friend of mine, female, being dressed by her owner from head to toe. She was an upright pony with the hooves, with the most beautiful headpiece, with her feathered headpiece and her bridle. I mean, it's just the most remarkably beautiful thing I've seen in a long time. Her outfit, all dressed in white and gold, it was really, truly, truly a sight to see. It really was. And to think that on Halloween this would be an extraordinarily acceptable, costume, but they weren't doing it on Halloween, and it was wonderful to see it. And they were truly, truly into it. But I want to go someplace else with this. And suppose you meet someone, Sophie, who you're very much into this. This is part of your repertoire because you love it, you're good at it, you've gotten into it. Suppose you meet somebody who's absolutely no interest in animal play, and they very much want to be submissive to you, and you're very attracted to this person's attracted to you. How does somebody who has no interest in this or has never experienced it before, how do you get into it? Or should you get into it just because you've met somebody who wants it?
Okay, well, I think those are some really good questions. So, I think you need to ask each other, what do you want to do for your play partner? What do you want to do to your play partner? And you can play with it that way. So remember before I mentioned you can incorporate fear play or you can incorporate medical play, right? And I gave some examples for that. You can do all of that. Well, first of all, when it comes to me, I don't need to have animal play. It's not the only thing that I'm into. I'm into a number of other things as well. But I often find that animal play is a good way to start playing with hierarchy. And I don't turn it into a puppy thing or a specific animal right away. I let that happen a little bit more organically. Maybe I want to lead somebody with a leash and put a head harness on them with a ball gag in their mouth and they drool all over themselves. Before I mentioned that I like elegance, right? I like to be elegant. I like elegant people. I'm drawn to a more sophisticated type. So it's a lot of fun when somebody who is that type is reduced to a different type completely. I'll usually find, because the play happens organically, that a lot of this will just unfold. And then I let them know my interest in bringing them towards a headspace rather into a role play. And we see what it afterwards, what does that bring out in you? How did you feel? How did you experience it? Et cetera, et cetera. And ideally, I want to get them past all their anxieties, all of their worries, all of their, insecurities and just let them be in the dynamic and in the hierarchy. So it's just that animal play lends itself very easily to that.
Right. What it does, as far as I can tell right now, is it merges a couple of aspects of one's personality, but it has the potential to go from being an activity into a mindset. That's what I find very interesting about it. Now let's turn the tables. Let's say the submissive, comes to a person, comes to the top, comes to the dominant woman or dominant man, and is very into the animal play and wants to be the animal. And the top has no interest in it, has never, or has done it and doesn't like it, or whatever the case may be. Can you accommodate a submissive
Absolutely.
who says this is very important to them and they want they want it as part of the dynamic? How do you accommodate a submissive who wants this and you're not into it?
Okay, so first, let's get an example of what that person is into.
Okay.
How about you give it to me?
Ah, okay. Suppose this particular person would like to be treated as a show horse and wants to be dressed up as a show horse, wants to have all the accoutrement that a show horse would have, including the beautiful leather reins and a headpiece and a beautiful saddle, perhaps some hooves or particular footwear or something along those lines, and wants to be treated as a show horse as well, be taken out, be shown to people. And as far as you're concerned, not as far as I'm concerned, not something I really want to do. I can think of a lot of other things to do, and not that's not included in it.
And so what do you like to do?
I like impact play, to tell you the truth. I'm very, into that kind of thing. That's my scene, essentially. I enjoy that. I also enjoy humiliation big time and things along those lines. I like using my voice and well, things like that. That gives you an idea, yes?
Yeah, sure. So
Okay.
actually, that works out really well because horses obey both verbal commands
Yes.
and they also can take cues through physical action. And some of the ways that, I've ridden horses, so some of the ways that, you interact with a horse. In the old days, you dig your heels. Now you do different things to ride horses, but you should dig your heels and maybe swat them. So you take an old-fashioned approach in a sense, right? And
Right.
let's say you want to play with this person. This person's really sexy to you. You want to experience something wonderful with them. They absolutely want to be a horse, and for them, it's about the accoutrement and the
Yes.
hierarchy. Right?
Yes.
And you're an elegant woman. So you can appreciate that even if it's not something that excites you. And then you really like impact. So maybe you want to take the horse through their paces. Maybe you want to take a rope to the horse's bit, have them run circles around you, and whip them till they're galloping at the speed that you like.
Ah,
Maybe you want them
dressage.
to.
Yes,
You want them
yes.
to make their knees higher and listen to how excited you got over dressage. Right? And that's where I'm
Yes.
going with this. I'm really glad that we're
Okay.
coming to this point together because I do believe very strongly that people who want to share experiences can f create ones that are really enjoyable for everybody involved.
I get it. I get it. So you use your imagination a little, free yourself up. Now, as you were saying that, I can envision myself dressed as a southern gentlewoman or something along those lines, and leading a pony with beautifully engraved and carved reins with a bridle that is specially, say, painted or something along those lines. And I could be dressed in my riding habit, a very elegant velvet riding habit with my beautiful leather boots. And I could, you know what this is, I'm envisioning something I saw. And I don't know why I didn't think about this before I even asked you this question. Years ago, I think it was at a Black Rose down in DC. I walked into that dungeon and it was huge. It was a humongous two-level parking garage that was taken over and made into the dungeon. I saw a carriage being led by four horses riding through the main kind of like aisle in this parking garage, which had been outfitted as a dungeon for Black Rose, and a woman sitting atop the carriage, dressed with most gorgeous hat and feathered boa and etc., in this beautiful black carriage, and she was riding these horses through that down that aisle. And of course, that was a scene right of one out of ML will appreciate this, out of one of Anne Rice's beauty books. Okay.
I was there. I saw it.
You saw it. Yeah.
I did, yes.
Yeah. It was remarkable, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got the visual of that. So, in other words, take what is attractive to you about the potentiality of a scene like that and work with that aspect of it, as opposed to, I'm not going to like this, but I'll just do it for him because I really want to play with him because he's so fucking hot. And yeah, so I'll do it. Instead of doing that, make it accommodate your headspace so that both of you can get something out of it and give it a shot. That's another thing, right? Try it.
Right. You know, you don't have to do something twice, right?
Right.
And
right.
You can drop. You can always drop out of a scene. Either
right.
person can red light this.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I really love the path that we're going down.
Yeah, I'm starting to like the idea of it a little bit more as we speak. I really am. Yeah, this is very, very interesting. It truly is. Now,
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Sophie. So, a lot of times, I've heard this multiple times. So I can't have anything covering my face, interfering with my breathing, in my mouth. It's a hard limit for me. So I have spoken, you know, oh, well, you can't be a pony. You can't do pony play if you don't have the bridle and the bit and the this and the, you know. Is that true? You know, like, is there like a set like rule or a way that pony play is performed, and it's not pony play if it doesn't have you know, I'm not saying this is true, this is what I've been told from other trainers and owners and things of that nature, where I tell them of my limit and they're like, oh, well, then it's really not pony play at that point. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, So a pony is guided often by a bit that's in their mouth. But
cool.
I don't think
well, before
that
we
you're...
had a bit, we didn't use one. We had
That's right.
We had rope.
Yeah.
That didn't go through the mouth. We used...
No, but let me try to. Okay, so I think that we should get to that. Maybe you want to start the answer on this one then? And then I'll go... Just tell people that we didn't have all the accoutrements.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have the equipment to do it. It wasn't for pony play at start. I don't remember exactly what we used, but we used sort of nothing to block the face, but we used some sort of rope setup to be able to guide me. Even though I didn't have anything in my mouth like a horse, so and anyone who says something like that, you know, it shouldn't be gatekeeping. I know horses get guided by bits in their mouth, but I mean, it's not that not everyone can do everything. Not everyone, not all ponies can lift their legs up. Not all puppies can walk on the ground. There's people have different abilities, and they shouldn't be restricted just because of those restrictions. I don't wear anything for being a puppy because I can't drink or play fetch if I have a mask on.
Yeah, I think
clothes.
You're 100% right. Go ahead, Sophie. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just saying that puppies don't wear clothes.
Right.
What were you going to say before me?
Right. And so, I'm sorry?
What were you going to say before I was?
Oh, no. I really love your answer for it. I think that that's the good answer. So
I think it's a good answer, too. And I could see, for example, setting up with someone who couldn't have anything on their face or interfere with their breathing. Say, for example, attaching something to each shoulder. Okay, the right shoulder, the left shoulder. So if you, right? So if you wanted to move, you pull the rope that's attached to the right side or the left side. Yeah, okay. That's good.
Exactly. So
yeah.
I think I think one of the things is we need to remember why we're all in this scene. We're all in this because we want to experience something that we enjoy. And
Right.
we want to also share those experiences with others.
Right.
And it is for the sake of pleasure in the end. So
Right.
even if it's, that's why there's punishment, right? And
Yes,
diversion.
absolutely.
It's not really always.
We're big fans
Yeah,
of punishment.
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and accommodation is important. We all have different levels of abilities. We are different at different stages in life.
Right.
And it would really hurt me to think that a dog gets tossed aside once the dog gets old, right? And if you're not going to take the horse to the glue factory, then put them out to pasture in the kindest way and keep them some company. You can
Right.
still groom a beautiful
Right.
horse,
Yes. Yes.
right? So if you like
Yes.
sensual play, why not take the role of groomer and brush them, right? Pet them, feed them carrots and oats and sugar cubes if they're not
Right.
diabetic.
Right. Sophie, you are 100% correct. You got to open it up. Just like we find ways to play with people who have certain disabilities of a more serious nature. What I mean by more serious is they're more obvious. And for example, people in wheelchairs, people who are disabled in terms of not being able to walk or not being able to move in a normal, regular way. For example, people who have Parkinson's or people who are suffering from severe forms of arthritis, things along those lines. We accommodate. And I think that's a beautiful word. Yes. Okay. Let me ask you, as we're drawing to a close, let me ask you a couple, well, one thing in particular. Say, for example, somebody wants to find out more about animal play and what it's all about, and introduce it perhaps to their partner who has no interest in it. What would you suggest?
Well, there are many local organizations that people could Google, and there are people that play. You will find this much more prevalent in trans males because it's
Okay.
male, right?
So,
Sorry.
in other
But
words, Google is your friend.
Google is your friend
Okay.
for because I think experiencing, I'm sorry, because I think seeing and experiencing is really important. Rather than just reading, 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 you'll come up with too many preconceived notions. So yes, reading on something to maybe intellectually think about it is good, but you'll be more inspired when you see things and when you get to act in certain ways. I've met people who are like, I can't imagine what anybody gets out of puppy play, for example.
Right,
And
right,
they've come
right.
to our home. And maybe Shadik is in his dog state at the moment. And he's taking a nap on a dog bed on the floor. He wakes up from it. He does his little stretch, et cetera, et cetera. I go get him some water in a dog bowl. And, he brings me his dog toy. And I start throwing it, he brings it back while I'm talking to the other human. The other human forgets when he brings the dog toy to that human, right? This is a real example of somebody. And the human, without thinking about it, takes the dog toy and throws it and continues their conversation with me. Then realizes that as they're telling me they don't understand the appeal, here they are doing it.
Right.
And was so surprised that they started to enjoy it.
Quite amazing. Yes, indeed.
So I say give it a shot without too many expectations.
Right.
It can be fun and funny. And I've met people who hang out in puppy masks and they're more kind of like furries and they'll be drinking their beers and talking and all of that. And for me, I'm very firm that when I'm doing puppy play and any kind of animal play, that animals don't talk.
That's
That
right.
instead, they make sounds, they make
That's right.
tones, they use body language. So when Shadik needs to be taken out of dog space because he's not going to go to the bathroom on my floor, right? He does what dogs do. He starts walking in circles.
Right, gotcha,
And I know that that means tell him to take a break and give him the signals to take him out of that space.
So you also would recommend going to events in your area or wherever it is you're going to go. I mean, Tess has events. There's Naughty Noel. There's stuff that goes on out on the coast. Other events. A lot of these places will have puppy shows, dog shows. A lot of them will have horse shows and competitions and things along those lines. Get out, see it, experience it, and see if it appeals to you. And
Oh yeah.
be willing to get out there and do something, kind of like join the fun, because it really does sound great. It really does. Sophie, I want to thank you so much for today. This has just been fabulous, and your pet Sharik, how wonderful this has been to have the both of you. ML and I have wanted to do this episode for quite a while, and we're so glad that we got two of the well-known East Coast people who are into the scene, Sophie Minkman and her puppy Sharik. Wonderful. And ML, I'm so glad we got to do this, huh? I think it's really going to appeal to so many of our listeners, huh?
Our listeners, sure. And if you have any questions or comments, please email us at tkw at 2kinkywomen.com. That's the numeric 2. Sign up for the email newsletter. We never sell your information. It's all very private. And get your free downloadable beginner's guide to kink. Also check us out. We're breaking into YouTube next year. And we're on TikTok and we're on Instagram. So please find us and on your social media. And we also have our podcast every month on numerous and multiple podcast players. So please check us out. Also on the website, our homepage at 2kinkywomenpodcast.com. That's where you get all kinds of you can get some dirty smut porn writing. You
Oh,
can get
yes.
Ask the Mistress. Yes, you get Ask the Mistress. You can get your downloadable infographic for the month. It tells you the top five things from this episode. So there's a wealth of information and education. We are two kinky women, and we want you to be kinky too. See you
Yes, we
next time.
do. Yes. Next time. Again, thank you so much,
Thank you so much for
Sophie.
having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to share something we love so much with everyone else.
Our pleasure.
Thank
See
you.
you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.